This hour, we have Senator Jeff Wilson on the horn. Thanks for being here today.
Well, good morning, Johnny. And let's start out by saying 'tis the season, so I got to wish everybody a happy holidays.
So we have the legislative session coming up. You doing your pre-session stretching?
Well, I think that that's one way to phrase it. Session is going to be promises to be action packed from its beginning to its, well, it's not so far away end. And that's an important thing, Johnny, is to remind everybody that this is a short session year. So we're really in service, active with floor activities and whatnot for 60 day session. It's not the 120 day session. So, you know, this will be very quickly paced. And, of course, there'll be a lot of big, big topics this year besides our regular bills and issues we'll bring forward. It's a year of the initiative.
One thing that I've been seeing a lot of lately is the state Democratic Party and the ACLU, they set up this hotline, this telephone hotline, where people... they encourage people to report signature gathering, and this is pertaining to six conservative-themed initiatives. What's your take on that?
Well, if this is an unfortunate part of the news, where I will say that it shouldn't be partisan. It absolutely should never be partisan, a Democratic or Republican issue. When it comes to signature gathering, those are from registered voters, regardless of their political party affiliations. So why on earth would, for example, the Democratic Party endorse surveillance and then ultimately reporting on people in signature gathering activities throughout all of our communities in the state? It just seems a little bit, well, I think it's eerie. I think that's a word I'll use. It's eerie when you would like to create some form of notification to a group to say, hey, these people are over here gathering signatures. So that's okay, except my bill that I dropped, which is known as Senate Bill 5820, it's been pre-filed, and that bill says, look, you step back. You give signature gatherers at least 25 feet instead of directly interfering with the people's rights, which is set up through our Constitution, the people's right to be heard through an initiative process, which requires stand in some place and gathering signatures. We've all seen initiative or signature gatherers out one point in time in our everyday lives. That's a process that needs to be respected, Johnny. You do not have the right to trample over people that are peacefully and actively just pursuing a process that's preserved for all registered voters and citizens. It's a lot like the ballot drop boxes and whatnot. There's already existing laws that say you got to stay back. You can't sit there and intimidate people. You can't bully people. So my bill is incredibly simple. I think it's a whopping one-page bill, Johnny. Yeah, but yet it says, listen, you just got to give this space. You don't need to again keep people under surveillance for your political gains.
Well, it's kind of ridiculous we have to do something like that, but isn't setting up hotlines to report signature gathering for this type of thing, isn't that a violation of our state and federal constitution or our country's constitution?
Well, even if it wasn't, it's like I say, I think it's eerie. The potential to put up people under surveillance or spy. I mean, come on here. What's the tactic purpose of that other than to potentially annoy and harass people? And, you know, in a place, come on, our entire state, like the nation, we spend a lot of time being divided on issues and our, you know, a lot of things every day. And this is another way I'd like to complain about. These kind of tactics do absolutely nothing to unite, us, so we can stay focused on our rights and our process and get along better versus having turn-in surveillance lists. We saw that, Johnny. We already saw that during the COVID. There were even telephones that you can call, and you could turn people in for not wearing masks. I think these are some of the reasons I'm being so a lot of energetic on this topic, because we just went through this, the kind of point where people would really just want to watch your every move and kind of interfere with your process. We saw that during the COVID. We saw that overreach. And it should never be allowed to be common practice to interfere with legal and proper allowed signature gathering efforts. It's really a violation against our rights here as Washington citizens. So I would like to emphasize to shame those that would set up that type of surveillance and be engaged in such aggressive tactics in order to play partisan politics. I don't like that at all.
Well, it's 7:18, and if you have any questions for Senator Jeff Wilson, you can email or text message. That's johnny@jodesha.com for local matters. 7:21, and we have Senator Jeff Wilson on the horn with us. If you have any questions for him, you can email or text message. That's johnny@jodesha.com. A lot of client commitments and things. You know what I want to know here, Senator? You have Dr. Judith Curry, who's a climatologist, who's published over 140 scientific books and papers, gets no media coverage when she says it's all a hoax. But, you know, Greta, who's, 21 and unemployed, not a scientist, reads from a script, she gets 24/7 media coverage. What's your take on that?
Well, you know, those that seek that fame, congratulations. But the topic at hand is climate cycles, climate change. And we do know that there are changes occurring in our climate. But let's not overreact and ever sell that with scare tactics or misinformation. You know, we're headed with the Climate Commitment Act is a problem now, because we have entered into this carbon tax and cap scheme. It's a collection of money, so much so that Washington State has amassed like $1.6 billion in cash from selling of these carbon auction credits by polluters of 25,000 metric tons or more. And we've raised more money than any other state had expected. We outpaced everybody with our sailing of these permits, I guess, to pollute. But the Climate Commitment Act, now we've got all this money that we've collected. We haven't reduced carbon of any measurable amounts, not whatsoever that I've seen in any studies, as a result of charging for these carbon credit auctions. And yet now we have the highest, and just or have had this year, the highest gas prices of all of the United States of America. And that's because we were promised something that wasn't true. The governor insisted that the Climate Commitment Act and the carbon auction credits, these would result in just a few pennies of increased prices at the gas pump. Well, Johnny, that is simply not true. It's never been true. The price of gas has been up 40 plus cents, and more has been attributed to the legislative activities, our government overreach on taxing carbon. We have done this, and it's really hurt everybody. The pain at the pump, Johnny, it affects everybody in the state, and I'll argue a lot more even of your listeners. And that's because we're rural folks. We usually drive further and farther in between our daily trips for work or school. So these type legislative activities do impact in a much harder hit than others. We don't have light rail and high-speed rail and extended bus systems for public transportation. We're still reliant on our own resources to move around throughout Grays Harbor and all the other rural counties. And this is a shameful act because, quite frankly, it's been exposed. It was a lie. It's not going to increase fuel a couple cents. It increased fuel by a lot, so much so we got the number one rating in the United States for the most expensive gas taxes.
Hey, we got to be good at something, right?
Well, you know, this is something that I think I can pass on that one. I'd rather be good on a solid economy and affordability and a safe place, Johnny. You know I'm going to say that. Public safety is very important. So we have a serious issue in Washington State with our drug overdoses outpacing and being number one source of death of how people pass is by overdosing of drugs in Washington State. We're somewhat lawless in areas, and the defund police, you know, issues have carried forward to weakening our police structure. So I think it's time we forget worried about saving the planet, per se. Washington State does not have the capability to save the planet, but we do have the ability to respectfully enact laws that are fair to people. And I say that Climate Commitment Act sounded good. Oh, but it took too much. It was definitely overreach and greed. And now, of course, our current administration will simply just blame the gas and oil companies for doing this to us. That clearly should not even be open for discussion. That is a myth, and I think that we should start listening to the real actual proof, which is at the pump there.
And then we have the, I've been calling it Spotted Owl 2.0, but the saving the salmon, and I'm all for, you know, the conservation of our salmon. I was understanding a report that our numbers were higher than we anticipated, but gosh, I don't know. I talked to the fishermen out in Westport, for example, and they say the seals and sea lions consume more salmon than we do, and they're protected, and they're just, you know, laying around on the piers there, on the docks, and just eating up all our fish and breaking into the bait tanks, and yet nobody mentions that.
The life of the seal and the sea lion that eat all day and bask on the dock. Is that where we're going with this, Johnny?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, I put out this year's legislation that I'm developing. I have a budget proviso, and it really says, listen, we've got a predator issue imbalance. I'm never going to deny and say that seals and sea lions, which are the Stellar and the California sea lions, you know, these are important members, I guess, of our ecosystem. But they're dominating and destroying, you know, certain fisheries, and the impact's devastating. A sea lion can outfish any fisherman, put it that way, on a one-on-one basis. And we have a balance that's gotten out of balance. There seems to be too many. So I've dropped a proviso that says, listen, Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife and whatnot, we already have existing permits given to us by the federal government under the Marine Mammal Protection Act. I think it's called a 120F permit, where we hold a permit, a state agency does, to represent the federal government to actually remove, as in permanently, certain predators that impact our fish runs. And on the lower Columbia River, it is a problem. In fact, it's such a problem that we already have the right legally through a permit to go reduce those numbers and say tributaries of the lower Columbia. But Johnny, we don't do that. So the score is predators one, everybody else zero. And so my proviso says, look, we're going to arm you with a little bit of coin. It's about a $3 million proviso. And it says you need to go out there and get the proper gear that you need to do your work in these shallow lower Columbia tributaries. You're already allowed an allotment to balance on the predation scale. Why aren't we doing it? Because permits don't last forever. So this will up the ante and require our state agency, Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife, to really just meet the quota they've already been given.
Let's see. I only got about 45 seconds before we'll have the music queued in here. I got a text. I've heard that the culvert replacement projects happening across Washington is severely underfunded, and a new gas tax is being considered to supplement its shortfall. Is this true or just a nasty rumor?
Unfortunately, it's not a rumor when it comes to the culvert replacement that your viewer or listener is looking for. This is a result of a court-ordered injunction years ago that ordered the state to remove those fish barriers, those culverts, Well, recent reports have said, well, we may be on track to meet the expectation of X number of culverts removed by 2030. The problem is, and your listener's correct, the price is double. Automatically, what we thought was 1.3 or 1.4 million bucks, you're going to need a lot more money than that in order to comply.
We'll talk more about that after our bottom of the hour break, your centennial moment for December 12th. More with Senator Jeff Wilson on Local Matters.
It's Local Matters. Here's Johnny Manson.
We are talking with Senator Jeff Wilson about, well, the upcoming session. It's going to be a short session, and just some kind of notes. You know, I follow you on socialist media, and I see pictures of you and your beautiful wife doing fun things. Any things that stand out, like stuff you've been doing?
Absolutely. We're guilty. We like to have a lot of fun in the holiday season. You know, we get the action pack usually starts at Halloween, Thanksgiving, now into Christmas. So it's a fun time. So in our local community, we like to go out and about and visit and attend events. But we also like to hang up Christmas lights for public display. We also like to go out and paint murals on buildings and do things to engage with the local community. I mean, that's one of the cool things. I mean, the really cool things about being a senator for the 19th district. We've got a lot of neat cities and towns. You know, I do live in the southwest corner, but quite frankly, my favorite is everywhere in the 19th district.
So we were talking about the seals and sea lions and how they consume an insane amount of our fish and salmon. What could, regardless of what aisle you are on, or if you're in the middle, a lot of people say, "Oh, I don't pick a side." And what could they do to maybe bring more awareness to the seal, sea lion consumption of our fish versus the evil humans?
Well, because it's easier to blame your hydroelectric dam. It's easier to blame pollution. It's easier to blame just, I guess, people instead of saying, wait a minute, the predators here not only have the upper hand, they've gotten out of hand. And last year, my office received a lot of calls, Johnny, from concerned citizens reporting that there were seal lions swimming 70 miles up the Cowlitz River last year. Never been seen before. We had never seen those predators go so far up these tributaries. And, of course, what they're doing is they're not on vacation. They're not sightseeing. They're not there to really essentially reproduce. They're there to eat anything that they can take a bite out of. And we know for a fact that it may not be popular. It may not be popular in the media to question the predator imbalance, like there's too many. Well, in this case, we know there is. And we know that there's a permit, like by the Bonneville Dam, 154 miles or so up the Columbia River, the federal government removes sea lions. But really, at times, they're only permitted for, say, a small number a day, and there's a permit process they have to go through to, I guess, humanely remove these predators. But listen, now it's come down to out and outright war between preserving a healthy fisheries or a run or a broodstock versus letting a predator have a wide open buffet, and we don't challenge that. So it was really simple. I have that budget proviso that says, look, we need to do the work that we're allowed to do. I didn't say over harvest, but right now the clear winners that take a bite out of those fish would take a bite out for everybody else is the seal and sea lion. And it's an obvious problem that I wish me luck this session, but I hope that we can get this passed through and put in the budget.
You know, you mentioned permits. You know, you got to have a permit to remove a problem. You need a permit to do things like go fishing. You need a permit to do something on your own property. Are we being over-permitted?
Oh, absolutely. Welcome to the, you know, 21st century in Washington State, where the government will tell you what's best, or maybe they'll go along the lines of, no, you only speak when spoken to. But as we talked about earlier, Johnny, I think that pendulum, it's coming back. I don't recall any time, me being a lawmaker for my short career already, of the government faced with people that have had enough. It's time that the legislature, you know, we listen rather than create a roadblock. So it's going to be a very wild year indeed.
Speaking of Secretary of State, what's your take on that whole UK-based cyber sleuthing firm involved with that shady contract and that whole story? Can you care to, comment?
I'm going to be a little shy to, you know, act like I can represent anything from the Secretary of State's, you know, office. I work well with the Secretary of State in my ranking role of state government elections in the Senate. You know, but enough is enough, too. We really just need to focus on making our elections safe and secure because, Johnny, we need to strive to become more trusted. I'm not saying our elections have run afoul. I'm saying that there's always room for improvement. And rather than make accusations of deep fake and rumors and myths, we really need to focus on making the election system and not only easy, but we've got to give it that credibility. And I think we're close. But you can't be dealing with times when the United States, well, I don't want to name any name, but when your mail carrier forgets to deliver ballots that are found in a warehouse counted later. We need to eliminate all of those things that are irritants as to why people, you know, have some doubts about our elections. Now, I believe overall we're safe and secure. What I'm saying this morning, Johnny, is clearly we have lots of room for improvement.
Okay, now with the whole making voting easy. Now, if our vote is as powerful and meaningful as we make it out to be, shouldn't we be willing to drive across town, swim across the lake, run miles to cast it? As opposed to making it easy and simple and even incorporating the internet, which, you know, brings up a whole, larger concern. What do you think?
Well, right now, the level of easy may already be there. In other words, when you get a ballot, we're that mail-in voting ballot state, but that doesn't mean you have to return it. If you get your ballot in the mail, you get a couple choices. What will work out best for you? Do you want to take it to your, after you filled out your ballot, do you want to take it to the ballot collection box? That's great. You can do that yourself. You can put it in your mailbox. Or you can drive or swim across town if you'd like and hand it in person right to the elections office of, say, your local auditor's area there every election cycle. So we have a system that you can choose. There's not one form or another when it comes to delivering that, but the biggest message that we need to focus on is voter turnout, getting people to vote. It's not a duty, it's an actual privilege to vote because you get registered voters. For those registered voters that don't vote, I don't have an excuse for them, Johnny. We want as many people that can vote legally vote. And for those of you that aren't voting, why aren't you voting?
I think some, I don't know what they think, but what I hear a lot of is my vote doesn't matter.
Well, that could be attuned to, let's say I want to watch a football game and I don't know who's going to win the game, but if I do want to find out who's going to be the winner of that game, at least I should tune in, show up, or attend that game in order to enjoy the process to get to the result to satisfy our curiosity. What's the outcome? And in this case, we're talking about elections. I mean, people that we vote in to go represent us in a constitutional republic. No. I think voting is something that should be incredibly more popular, more respected. And when you have, 30% of your registered voters vote, again, I'll say, well, where are the other 70% that can vote that didn't? we do need to hear your opinion. And really, the votes aren't that powerful, Johnny. Votes are only powerful when enough people vote. There has to be a winner, and that'll take everybody to be involved. So I please everybody, I always encourage, when you get a chance to vote, don't turn that opportunity down, not that privilege.
Well, it's about a quarter till. We have one more segment here with Senator Jeff Wilson on Local Matters. 12 minutes till, we're talking with Senator Jeff Wilson. I have an email. Really, Johnny, it seems like our votes don't count because everything that we need to vote on really depends on what King County wants. King County gets everything. We in the rural areas have to pay for everything that King County votes in. This is a Democratic King County vote, not Grays Harbor. Care to comment?
Well, I got to tell you that, you know, I would always rather be something of a positive message versus negative. Negative to me, it doesn't do any matter. I will reject that and try to encourage people. No, turn that negative into a positive and make that difference. We're seeing some races right here in Grays Harbor area. Come on, Johnny. We've all known that a couple races have just come down to a few numbers of votes. There's races that have to be recounted because, what is it, three or four or five ballots separates the winner from the loser? What do you mean your vote doesn't count? I mean, that's a class example right there. I believe it's a mayor race for Aberdeen, for example. I believe that was so close, or still is, that, everybody, you need to get out and vote. I can't fix that King County is really the big bully of the state. Of course they are. But that is why it's also our job as the people that represent the other parts of the state outside of King County is to try to reel that in. Of course, King County really does have that bad reputation. Well-deserved. Well-deserved because they dominate budget requests and potentially legislation. But we don't give up on it. We simply show up every time we get a chance to fix it, and that's at the ballot box. So for voters in King County, keep voting and vote for change. I would encourage that.
Well, if you have any questions for Senator Jeff Wilson, you can email or text message. That's johnny@jodesha.com. Can you tell me about jury pay?
Absolutely. This is one of the bills. I call it a utility bill because the work of the legislature includes things that need to be taken care of that we rarely talk about, all the way to the ones that are at the top of the media's wish list to talk about. Well, I'd like to talk about jury pay. You know, that is your civic duty. And we want a jury of our peers, do we not? And yet, jurors in Washington State, it's a hardship to call up your boss or your employer and say, look, I've been summoned for jury duty and I want to do my civic duty, but I can't afford to because you only get paid, what, 25, 35, 40 bucks a day, some mileage, and yet you got to take time off from work. That's usually at an economic loss. So my bill will hopefully balance that out by saying, okay, jury duty pay for those individuals that do take the time to serve, let's put it up there, what, 125, 135 bucks a day, something that won't devastate and disencourage people from doing a civic duty. We shouldn't almost economically penalize somebody because offering them 25 bucks to leave their paying job, which I hope makes more than 25 bucks a day, where's the support? So this bill will correct that. I'm hoping we have great success with it because these are things we need to pay attention to.
Okay, if I have a grievance or something that I think should be fixed, can I reach out to you and kind of pitch it to you?
Absolutely.
How do I do that?
Hey, we have a number of ways. You email me at jeff.wilson@ledge.wa.gov. Or you call the office at 360-786-7636. You can email. You can call. It's a lot like what you're doing right now, Johnny. We're always ready and willing to listen to the listeners and the viewers and what we do for our living. So I encourage that. I always look forward to hearing from constituents, whether you're in the district or not. People's opinion is required to be heard in a constitutional republic. So I really enjoy that part. We get a lot done, and quite frankly, that's how a lot of good bill ideas get originated, as we work through the legislative process.
So do you have any plans for the holidays, for Christmas, New Year's?
Absolutely. This year is going to be focused on priority things, which include family, of course, my faith, just being together. It's like the ultimate thank you time. Thank you for our blessings in everyday life, but kind of thank you for each other. Not so much about the gifts. I've never been much into making Christmas a big, very expensive, you know, commercial gift-giving process. It's always a really good time, Johnny, to hang out with people that you love and care.
Okay, so do you have any, like, hobbies or anything? Like, if you could have a Christmas gift that wasn't, you know, one of those, I want a yacht or a new mansion, what would you want for Christmas, a gift?
Oh, boy, you know, I need a big leaf blower, or for those out there, how about a bigger tool that helps me pick up garbage faster alongside our roadways? I do go through a lot of those extended tools that picks up things, that additional, you know, something you'll see me on the side. I wear those out. I probably go through about 10 or 20 of those a year when I'm picking up garbage along our streets and roads.
How's the battle with the moles been?
Well, so far, I'm undefeated because I don't have any mounds in my backyard that have gone unnoticed and didn't get my immediate attention. That's the secret to mole, demoling your property. Don't let them get the upper hand. You got to be proactive on it, and I'm proud of my track record. Right now, it looks all green down there.
See, I got an email. We would like to see for all candidates on the ballot whether they are Republican or Democrat, so we know. I think it does that for the most part.
Well, it does. In Washington State, especially with presidential primaries, you have to pick a party box, Democrat or Republican. And if you don't, and you want to say, well, I don't know what party I am, that ballot will not count. That's one way to get your ballot discounted. But I will note that a lot of positions that people vote on in Washington State, they don't have a darn thing to do with partisan politics. Your local school boards, those are independent, nonpartisan. Get out and vote.
Senator Jeff Wilson, thanks for spending time with me, sir. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you as well.